I don't think I hit him in the helmet, but, you know, I leave that up to those guys. I think I was just right here. I saw the hit, but it wasn't intentionally, not at all. You know, it wasn't trying to break his neck, you know, trying to make the play. He's trying to get in the end zone. You know, my speed was picked up, you know, and I just tried to make a tackle.
Bears linebacker Danny Trevathan bringing you back to the beach, 720 WGN, Panionovich and Powell. 312-981-7200.
Two games for Trevathan for that.
Two game suspension. The question of the day, and we'll keep this trend rolling throughout the show. You can call, you can text, keep those texts rolling in. Worst Bears quarterback you ever saw? Question mark.
Long list of them. We want to hear it because we've watched some really, really bad football from Mike Glennon the first four games of the season. Who's the worst Bears quarterback you've ever seen?
Jonathan Quinn.
Caden McNown.
Oh, there's a lot. You can go through the list. Henry Burris.
312-981-7200. Adam Hogue is live from State Street Brats in Madison. That's according to your Twitter account, Adam. Fresh off that Northwestern game, which was a frustrating loss. But obviously the breaking news with Danny Trevathan. Your thoughts on the two-game suspension, Adam?
Yeah, kind of what I thought, guys. I thought two games made sense. He doesn't have a history of this. You know, kind of the thing I locally have compared it to for, well, I guess Chicago fans are on the other side of this in this situation. But when Marian Hossa got nailed by Rafi Torres a few years ago in the playoffs, that was kind of like the other side of this where you're going, all right, well, that was so egregious that you got to do something about it, right? But the difference being, Rafi Torres obviously had a long history of dirty hits and things that he had been suspended for in the past, fines, things like that. In Danny Trevathan's case, he is not a malicious player or guy. He's a hard hitter. He does have a reputation for that, but he does have a reputation as a headhunter. So I really felt like, look, it was a bad hit. It was clearly illegal. And I do think he should have been suspended for it because I think you have to send the message to the rest of the league that those kinds of hits are not going to stand anymore. And now he'll get a chance to appeal it with his reputation. Maybe he can get it down to one game, which I think would be fair too. And then you move on from there.
Is there an appeal process here, Adam? Do you think he will appeal? Yeah. And if that's the case, can he play Monday night against Minnesota?
So there is an appeal process. He gets 3 days to appeal, and then they – you know, well, it'll all happen before the next game. And he's going to get at least one game out of this. So he probably will not play against Minnesota.
All right, so they won't have any good linebackers out there against the Vikings. That's awesome.
They're running thin.
Yeah.
Well, more importantly is, Mitch Trubisky is going to start. When are they going to announce that he's the starter, Adam? How long are they going to wait?
Yeah, I've been kind of thinking about this. So my guess would be that it's not a normal week. So on a normal week, they would wait till Wednesday's practice, right? Because that's when you get into game mode. That's when you finally get out there and you have the injury report that's required by the league to put out there and things like that. So that's usually when they would say, all right, this is maybe where we're making a change. So with a Monday night game, that will be Thursday. That's kind of the day I'm thinking will be when they announce it, but they do have a practice on Tuesday. And so maybe it comes earlier in the week just because of this long layoff. I don't really know. I would advise, not that public relations should have any impact on the decisions you're making as a franchise, but at this point, it's pretty obvious that they're probably going to make a change. And I would just advise that get it out there as early as possible. Try to get as much interest in this game as possible. Mm-hmm. Because if you do not make if you let this thing bleed out throughout the week, God forbid, even said that Mike Glennon is still the starter, that is going to make for bad optics on Monday Night Football when the Cubs are going to be playing the Nationals at Wrigley Field the same day. And if Glennon's starting, what is that place going to be half full?
Adam, whose call is it? Whose call has it been to not play Trubisky, and whose call is it to put him in as the starting quarterback? Is it Ryan Pace or is it John Fox? Whose voice carries more weight when it comes to that decision?
Well, it's the general manager. There's no question about that. I think what I've been kind of struggling with is sort of understanding how much John Fox wants to continue to play Mike Glennon. I do think that a lot of this has been Ryan Pace and his perfect plan that he thought would unfold, where he could buy a year here to develop Mitch Trubisky, or at least half a season, you would have thought, by having Mike Glennon go out there and manage the game, right? No one thought that Mike Glennon would be this bad. I didn't. I remember when I first heard at the NFL Combine in February that the Bears were going after Mike Glennon, and I thought it was crazy. I didn't think it made a lot of sense. I said, why not just keep Jay Cutler around? And then when they signed him for more money that Jay Cutler was going to make, I was just like flabbergasted. But I still was looking at him like, all right, well, I don't really agree with the process or the way they went about this, but Mike Glennon should be able to go out there and move the football. He was never this bad in Tampa. And when they draft Trubisky, I'm like, okay, you know, he's coming from a different offense. He's going to have an adjustment to the league. I think he has a high ceiling, but I understood the process. The problem is Glennon has not been able to manage games at all. Turning the ball over. You can't do that. He's been terrible. I heard you guys asking the question coming into this segment, who's the worst Bears quarterback ever?
He's up there.
I don't think Glennon is the worst among some of those guys you mentioned, but he's played like that. He has played like the worst. We forget he had a 0.0 passer rating in the first preseason game.
Right, and I'm tired of people calling him a game manager, because he's not a game manager. He's just a bad quarterback. A game manager is a guy who doesn't turn the ball over, and that's all he's done.
Yeah, and you can't do that. And so to get back to your question, like, I really think a lot of this is coming from above John Fox, and that this was Ryan Pace's plan. And John has been kind of – that's the other thing I'm saying. Like, I don't know what has really been going through John Fox's head the last few weeks. He never tells us anything, as you guys know, in his press conferences. When he wanted to make a change a couple weeks ago – I don't know. I find it hard to believe that any head coach would not have made a change in the middle of the game on Thursday night with how bad that was going. So was he being told from above that he couldn't? I guess I don't know, but that seems to me like the only explanation for how any head coach in that situation couldn't have made a change in a game that seemed like it was still in reach, like when it was 14-0 or 21-7 at the half. That game still felt winnable. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but it felt winnable if you made a change of quarterback. And they basically just conceded, and it got even worse in the fourth quarter when they didn't even try to onside kick or throw the ball. They were just running the clock out, even though they were the team that was losing.
I would put John Fox, I would put Mike Glennon on a barge, put him in Lake Michigan, and just let it sail away. Honestly, at this point, man, I'm so done with it. Last thing, Adam, and we appreciate your time here, and I know you're having a blast at Alma Mater up in Madison right now. Virginia McCaskey hates losing to the Packers. Ryan Pace can feel the pressure, but I think the most telling point about this entire thing is that you read the tea leaves and the quotes out of the locker room, and when a guy like Akeem Hicks, who a lot of people look up to on the defense, when he sort of acknowledges that they need to make a change on offense, that tells me everything I need to know. The locker room has lost faith in Mike Glennon, and it's that simple. Once they lose faith, it's time to move on.
That might be the number one reason why I do think that they are going to go to Trubisky here. I don't know. Look, if you talk to any player in the history of football, they might say the right things when they're talking to the media and, oh, we just got to do our job. We can't worry about the offense. But you talk to any player ever, sure, the defense gets frustrated with the offense if they're not moving the football and they're turning it over. It's not easy to come back right back out on the field after a turnover. And so I thought that those quotes from Akeem Hicks, who very strategically put that into an answer that wasn't, the question really wasn't about the quarterbacks, but that was a very interesting quote from him the other day where he said, hopefully we make the changes that need to be made. I thought it was very significant, and I agree with you that I can't tell you for sure that that's what he was talking about, but it sure seemed like it, and I was standing right next to him when he said that. So I feel like the locker room, well, how could they not? I mean, we're all watching the same thing. The locker room understands that Mike Glennon has been terrible, and they have to be thinking that Mitch Trubisky is the only right quarterback that could be out there against the Vikings on Monday night next week.
That's Adam Hoge on Twitter, at Adam Hoge. The coverage, WGNRadio.com/Bears and the Hoge and Johns podcast. Have some fun tonight, huh?
Have a brat and a beer for me, Adam.
Yeah, I'm about to. I think it's it was a tough game for the Cats today, but they fought back. And with no football tomorrow, for me at least, no Bears football, this is, being back in Madison, it's not bad.
I don't think you could take another loss, man. Bears Thursday, Cats today, you need a break.
Yeah, go have some fun, man. Relive the glory days.
Guys. That's Adam Hoag from Madison. He covered the Cats and the Badgers today. The Cats took it on the chin, and they lost as well.